Would you people please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Follow along as I read from verse 16 down to and including verse 23. Matthew chapter 10, beginning the reading in verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware, excuse me, of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Here we are, continuing on in the Gospel of Matthew. And we have embarked upon this second, we call it discourse of the Jesus Christ to his disciples, or we could say a sermon, his second sermon. He's speaking to his disciples at this point, and he's telling them what is going to take place. Now, we saw briefly in the beginning that he had chosen 12 of his disciples, and he elevated them to the level of apostles. He also instructed them on what they should do and what their ministry is going to be, down in verse 5 and at the end also to verse 15. Now they are clearly told what their ministry would be like as they interact with an unfriendly or a fallen world. And he tells them here what is to take place. We will look at verses 16 and down to 23 and see what Jesus is telling them, what they have to be prepared for. In this section, we will examine this morning, Jesus is preparing his apostles and his church in the future, all the way down to us, for the persecution that they will suffer when taking the gospel into the world. The 8 verses we can focus on, it falls into the following sections. We have 4 sections, or I have broken them up to 4 sections. They seem to open up in that form. The first one is Jesus tells them, or he's saying, cautiousness in preparation for persecution. Secondly, persecution from men. Thirdly, persecution from family members. And then finally, directions to flee for persecution. First of all, cautiousness in preparation for persecution. Jesus begins in verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." He starts this section with the word behold. Behold, I send you out. Behold calls attention to what is to follow. Jesus starts with this section grabbing the attention of his apostles. What he is about to tell them is very important. It will have bearing upon their person and their ministry as they go out. So he says, behold. They must emulate their teacher. They will be performing miracles like Jesus did. They will see, and people will see them and know they have come, those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, they need to have the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, I send you, behold, I send you out. Be as sheep, shrewd as serpents, but innocent as sheep. They will be performing all that Jesus said. They will do what Jesus is telling them to do. He told them how they would travel and be cared for in verses 5 down to 15. Now he must tell them what type of men they must be and what type of people they will meet. Jesus is telling them their ministry and what they're going to do now is not going to be something that everyone's going to look at them and they're going to be kind to them. And in a sense, Jesus is saying, you have been with me as I have ministered. You have seen how I have been attacked. You have seen how I have been rejected. And I want you to see and understand now, your ministry, your going out is not going to be any different than mine. So he grabs their attention with a word that means pay attention to what follows. Pay attention to what I'm about to say to you. It's going to mean what kind of men you're going to be. And we can say also it's going to mean all the way down to us today what kind of Christians we're going to be in a world that rejects Christianity. He goes on, he says, behold, I send you out. He's saying he is the one who is doing it. He's reminding them that their ministry will be under his care and control. This is something that they will need to fall back on, and they will fall back on it time and time again. Even though the following facts may be startling to you, it is you are now under my care. You are my disciples. I'm sending you out. Apostles going out. They who know he is who he is, they are the ones who are going out. I send you out. This would be some kind of comfort to them as they would look at this, because they are the ones who are going. And they're going to get into all kinds of situations, as Jesus will remind them here. But they have to look back on the fact that it is the Lord himself who has sent them out into a world. A world who will reject, a world who would disdain them, a world would do all kinds of things, and we find out later on a world that would actually put them to death. So he says, I want you to understand, first of all, what you're going into, pay attention, but I also want you to keep this in mind. I am the one who's sending you out. You're not going on some kind of journey because you decided it would be a good thing for you to go and try to mix with your brothers in Israel. You're not going because there's some group of you got together. I am sending you out. And so all comes back to me. Everything that you will experience as you're going out, it falls to me. And I am the one who will protect you. I'm the one who will guide you. So whatever comes to you is going to come through me. But he says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Do you see the picture, dear brother? As sheep in the midst of wolves. This describes the nature of their ministry itself. Sheep among wolves implies danger for the sheep, doesn't it? What does the wolf do? He goes after the sheep. We see that in real life. Sheep are weak and defenseless. He is not sending them out where there might be wolves. He is sending them into the midst of wolves. Now grab that picture in your mind. Here they're going out. And a picture Jesus has given to them, you're going in a place where you're going to be right in the midst of them. And anything that you've seen of wolves, if you look at some of the nature programs that I like to look at sometime, but anything you've seen, they are those who they come after their prey. And you're going to go into the midst of wolves, and they're not going to be looking at you, Jesus basically saying. And they look at you and size you up and say, oh, here's a sheep in. And no, they're going to come to devour. They're going to come to attack. Jesus says, when you're going out, you're going into a situation where there are those around you who want to destroy you and devour you. You're not going into a nice, calm situation. You're not going someplace where they look at you and say, oh, here come the apostles. Let us have Build them a supper or something. Invite them. You're not going into that. You're going into the midst of wolves. Those who are against you. Those who hate you. Those who will do everything they can to destroy you. Therefore, he presses two characteristics upon them. They must develop these two things. He says, so be. Notice how he says it. He says, so be. He makes those two words. It's not that you and I have to put on some kind of an idea, some kind of a characteristic. But he's saying here, you must become. You must become really what you are not right now. They have not begun to experience this kind of life. They have not begun to experience the attack to the degree what they're going to have. So you must become. They are going from experience to learn more and more about how they're going to have to minister. But Jesus tells them there are two characteristics that you must take with you. And you must develop these two characteristics. He says to them, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. He takes two things that are almost like you could say diametrically opposed. And he said that those two things have to work in you when you go out. Shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. The word shrewd means prudent, wise. To have a cautious character. To be able to look around you and assess the situation and to know how to react in the right way. A serpent is very cautious and skilled at avoiding danger. Any pictures you've seen of serpents and snakes and what they're around, you can see how they can get away. And you can see how God has given some of them what they need, that mechanism in order even to defend themselves. But we know, and I don't believe Jesus putting this in our mind, but we can think about the serpent in the garden. He was used by Satan and he was shrewd in order to get to our first parents. But here, Jesus is saying to them, now you must be wise, prudent as you go out. A lot of things going to happen to you. You need to understand how to develop what you're going to have to deal with every situation to come your way. But not only that, Jesus is telling them that they must be innocent as a dove. Now, all we see of doves, we know that that's the most harmless bird there is, isn't it? A dove does not attack other birds, not to my understanding, or display a great defensive skills. They don't have any of those things. He's harmless. You have here the word of innocent. It is a harmless bird, implying pure, uncorrupted, sincere, without guile. There's nothing about a dove that we can come to and put in the category of being wicked or being something that goes against. But the whole idea is sincere and uncorrupt, pure. Therefore, Jesus put these two things together. They must not give a reason that causes danger or injury. Therefore, they must combine shrewdness with innocence. Here's what they must do. Jesus brings these two things together. You know, there can be the place where they can go out. And they can go out. If they're not shrewd, they can cause problems to come to themselves. And then also, as these problems come, if they didn't cause them, they can latch out as those who come to him. But Jesus said, those two things you will not have. You're going to be shrewd and know how to keep yourself where you will not bring situations to yourself, and when they come, you're going to be innocent. You're going to be those who will not be taking on or striking back in some kind of harsh way. So Jesus says, now here's what you're going to do. You're going to have to develop these two things as you go back. These are the characteristics that you're going to carry with you. Now this was the very thing of Jesus Christ, wasn't he? We know what he was. He didn't have a fight. He had all those attempts of the Sadducees and the Pharisees to come against him to tell him what they must do and how he must make sure he come to the word of God as given to them by the word of Moses, to follow this and follow this. They questioned him, and every time he carefully and with very shrewdness, with innocence, and also with the whole idea of showing them that this is really what you have to take on. He put them back with the kindness of his words, and even with the love in his heart for mankind, all came through. Jesus attacked no one. Even when he was smitten by the high priest, he says, "What cause do you have to hit me?" He never did that. So these men now have to develop the whole characteristic of their Lord, and they must go out. And so he's telling them in the beginning, you're going to be looked at. You're going to be listened to. You're going to be received because of who you are. And that is the same thing today, isn't it, brother? You know, we know Jesus, now looking beyond, we see that as we go on through this section of the passage, that he looks beyond even the 12 going out. He looks even to the disciples in the book of Acts going out. He looks even all the way down the line to us. Whoever had any success in taking the gospel and being mean and obnoxious to people? They don't want to hear that. If you come that way and talking, you know, like you are so above people, you're better than people, they don't want to hear it. A lot of that is also characterized by Christians today. They think Christians are all so much above them, they look down on them. Jesus is saying here, you're going to present yourself to as caring people, but you're going to go into an area where they're not going to care for you. But you're going to have the shrewdness upon you where you would be able, as Jesus did in some cases, they come, they pick up rocks to stone him, but he walked right through the crowd. So he says, this is what you're going to have to do. And he shows them now, here is what you, first of all, you have to see. You have to carry cautiousness as you take the gospel out. And then he says in the second place, notice what he says. And we find that in verse 17. And that is persecution from men. He says, but beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they do hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should say. And notice what he says, beware of men. He's saying here, pay close attention. Listen to what they say to you. Beware of them. Don't be someone who is actually you so much like a sheep that you're not able to basically listen to what they're saying and how and what they're trying to say to you. Keep your hand and heart on in the right place where you can really look. They will hand you over, he's saying, to courts and synagogues. They are not going to basically be nice to you. Here is the wolf-like activity which is going to come to them. They're going to come and get you. They're going to come to destroy you. They're going to come to throw you into court. They're going to come to get rid of you. The courts here is indicated that the lower courts and some of the areas of in Jerusalem at that time and under the system, there were lower courts. They can go and stand before them and they would have to give some account even in that place. It could be just a group of men. But in the synagogues, they're taking you up to a higher court. And even in the synagogues, they have the right to beat those who come before them. Beat them. No, with the Lord Jesus Christ and others could be brought before them. Remember, there was a law. They couldn't give over 40 stripes on one who was brought before. And it stated that the Jews, to make sure they never went over the 40, they gave only 39. And that's where you hear that 40 slashes save one. And this is what they would do. So here, Jesus is telling them, you will be brought before the Jewish authorities. And he goes on, and not only that, before governors and kings. This is the Romans. Now, in this passage, this idea, you're going to be brought before even Gentiles. You're going to be brought before those who will do whatever they can to you. And when they do that, they're going to come to actually bring laws against you, to destroy you, to stop you. And in some cases, you'll be put to death. This is not a nice promise to them, is it? This is not saying, you know, you're going to take my gospel out and you have the good news of the kingdom of God. And as you take this out, there is a hungry world out there looking to hear you. As soon as you walk into their midst, they're going to see you and welcome. We've been looking for you to bring the gospel to us. No, there will be, and we see that. There will be some like that. And we saw that even in the latter part. When you go into a city and you speak, find out who is worthy and go into their houses. But Jesus now gave them generally what their task is going to be, what their ministry is going to be like, and how they're going to be treated. There'll be those who will be taken through these miserable things, which he say here. But he also indicates to them, as you do in this, you know, you're doing it and you're taking it for my sake. Jesus is telling them to bring back into your mind all that comes upon you in the deliverance of the gospel into the world. You 12 as you go out, and even all before, beyond that as you go out, you're taking this for my sake. Because you are not going out for yourself. You are not going out bringing some kind of ministry or some religion that you put into operation. You're telling people this is a better way to be served. It's for me. It's the word of me, the living Christ. The one who's given it to you. The one who's telling you, you must take that word out. When he says you will be brought, even brought before governors and kings for my sake. But he says, as a testimony. As a testimony to them and to the Gentiles, what are you going to be doing as a testimony? In other words, to witness, to bear proof, the declaration that confirms or makes something known as in our courts even today. You're going to make a declaration which confirms a truth that's there. Jesus has made it by his own sovereign will and his own sovereign providence that this is what's going to happen. The men you go out, it's not going to be a good thing for you, an easy life you're going to live, but you're going to find yourself really in a situation where the world is going to hate you. The world will do certain things to you. When you are brought before the courts, do not worry about what to say. It will be given to you by the Spirit of my Father, or by the Holy Spirit. Mark and Luke, when they give us this section, they make it clear it's going to be given to you by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God himself, the Holy Spirit, who speaks in you. Now, this thing, we have to make one, put some parentheses around this, because what he's telling them applies to the 12 at this point. This is the promise of inspiration that will be given to the writers of the New Testament. They are going to do it, and God is going to be the one with them. Jesus tells them in another place, in John chapter 14 to 16, that the Spirit, when he comes, he will bring all truth to you. He will tell you what to say. And what you will speak what he will give to you. And this is for the very writing of the book that we have right now. So this is not the kind of being led by the Spirit that we will get even longer down the line. What he's telling them is specifically for the 12. But we can thank God. The God, he teaches us, and the Holy Spirit helps us in times where we will be able to even say the things which will be rightly said. But what we're saying is not Scripture. He's saying to them, this is what they're going to be doing, and it is the Scripture that God will be given to them. So here they say, persecution is going to come from men. men on every level is going to be those who will persecute them. And he said this is going to go up to the high level in the Jewish court, and then it's going to go outside in the courts of the Gentiles. Maybe you and I will find that there will be those who will even bring us before the courts as we go and take the gospel. We thank God in our country has not come into that, but in other countries it has. You can't preach the gospel in some other countries. If you do, you're going to be brought before the government, and you're going to be stopped. And government right now has their denial of gospel preaching in their particular lands. So Jesus is indicating this. But he goes on. Not only that you're going to have persecution from men, but here seems to be a sad one. Persecution from family members also. And look how he says it. You know, he sees this and that. Basically, you can tell that he's indicating that what's going to happen to them by those who are close to them. Verse 21. He says here, brother will betray brother to death. Now, I want to stop and take each one of these up as a brother will betray brother to death. He's saying on this closeness that we have at this point where you have two brothers. Now, brothers can be basically, you can have all kind of problems between brothers, right? You know, we know of brothers in the world that they just fight and whatever they could do, especially when they're little, they all the way up. But they are brothers who don't even speak to one another. We know that today. So he says brother will betray. But he puts something else on this. It's more than just having a fight with your brother where you don't get to talk with them no more, but betray them to death. He indicates here that what's going to happen, that even those who are preaching the gospel, taking the gospel into the world, there may be a brother of that man who is going to be the one who would take him before the authorities so that he could be put to death. His own brother. He's going to do that. Then he goes even further. It's look like to what he's doing. He makes the basic relationship deeper and deeper as he goes. And he says here, and a father, his child. Isn't that something? A father, his child. We see that as to be the most, if we can call it, the most sacred, closest relationship there is, as we look back in years, right? And we can see it in some case happening even right now. But as you look in the world today, that is not the case anymore. There is not this closeness between father and children as it was at one time. But here Jesus is not talking about how the world is going to change. He's talking about how and what is going to happen with the preaching of the gospel. So you know he's preaching, he's speaking further than the 12 going out and all the way down when the gospel were taken back all the way to the end. So a father, his child, a father is going to turn over his daughter or son to the authorities. Going to give them up. Going to have them put to death or thrown in prison or whatever the case may be. But then it goes again. Children will rise up against the parents and cause them to be put to death. He says, here's what you're going to see. Now, here's going on. This is going to be what goes on with the preaching of the gospel. You're going into a situation, and he's telling us all the way down here, you're going into a situation where family ties is going to be destroyed because you have the gospel. Because you are with Christ Jesus. Because you love and you follow Christ. And you bring the gospel into the world. And all these situations, it doesn't matter. Jesus is saying here, the stranger out in the street may look to you and say, look, I don't want to hear that. But Jesus said, it's going to be worse than just the stranger in the street looking at you and saying, look, I don't want to hear nothing about your Jesus. He is saying now, this is going to come into households. There's going to be a separation. There's being a breakdown. And that breakdown is going to be over the gospel. That breakdown is going to be caused This truth has come to one, and those who have not do not have that truth. And I believe Jesus is saying here, these are not those who are going to one day come to that truth. I think these, what he's saying here, is going to be those who will continue in that hatred against, that rejection against Christ Jesus, and this is what they're going to do. It's going to go all the way down, or it can, it have the potential of going all the way down to turning against that person who is a Christian in your family. That's what he's saying. And it goes all the way. You're going to put them to death. Come against them. Put them to death. And I don't see anywhere in studying this out that this is some kind of language that doesn't mean real death. Just kind of like, you know, he's dead to me. No, it is not saying that. It indicates that this is what they're going to do. Turn him over to the authorities to die. But we know also that may not be in every case. Because there are those, and Jesus is not saying that it's in every case, but there are those who will not go along with mother, father, or sister, brother with their religion, but they won't do anything to harm them. They're just, you know what, that's where you feel, that's what you like, that's good for you, great, but I don't see it. But Jesus is saying, this is what is going to happen in some cases. And he's not suggesting that it's a possibility. He's saying brother will betray brother to death. And a father, his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And he goes on in verse 22, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Well, 12, maybe at this point, if they were just going on men who were just following something that was a new religion of the day, they could say at this point, you know something? I didn't sign up for this. I tell you what, Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, I'm going to go on. I'm going back to Israel. I'm going to get back up under the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm not ready for this. But this proved that these men were truly made in who they were. They were changed in their hearts and minds of those who are now with the Lord Jesus Christ, changed by Him. Because what they're doing at this point, they are, in a sense, casting everything away. They're casting it all. It could come to that where they will have nothing. They will be loners in the world with everybody against them. And so Jesus is telling them, beware, this is what you're going into. You're not going to go and have a wonderful life going through the cities of the Israelites at that time, the lost house of Israel, and take it, and everybody's going to look at you and it's going to be fine. Well, we see you are Israelites and so on, but no, where you're going in the midst of wolves. And he's basically saying it will be those sometime in your own family who will have this wolf-like character and just devour you and tear you apart. This is what it's going to come to. So he says in verse 22, you will be hated by all because of my name. Jesus here reminds us that this is not something that you are actually doing that causes people to hurt you, but it's something that you now represents. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And really he's saying and showing to us, he says at this point, you must understand it is really, in a sense, focused upon you, but it's focused beyond you. It's focused to the one who has sent you. It's focused to the one who's changed you. It's focused to the one who's put these new, different ideas in you. You really hate him. You don't want to be bothered with him. So all your wickedness and all your strange actions and what you do to the people, it's really towards Jesus. People say, well, I don't believe in this Jesus, but they mistreat you because you speak about him. But really, Christ is saying that mistreatment is towards him because you're trying to get rid of him. This is what he was all focused upon. It's focused upon Jesus Christ. It's focused on him. He says that because of my name, because of me, the world has Christ, therefore hates Christ, therefore it hates his servants also. They don't want to have anything to do with the servants of Christ. Now there's a toleration. And we know we have that wonderful thing. Tolerate all things. There's a toleration. But I'll tolerate you as long as you keep your religion to yourself. Don't come telling me about your Christ. I don't want to hear it. But Jesus says in verse 22, and he's indicating, we can see how this applies and attached to what he's saying. He says, you will be hated by all. And even from the verses above that, he says, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Now he says here, the one who endures to the end who will be saved. He who holds his faith or her faith and remains loyal to Christ is the one who will be saved. Or the one who will be taken back with him. Here is he saying that there is and are going to be in the very realm of the church those who may not have it this way, those who may walk away and have nothing to do with it, but he's saying that only those who through all these persecutions that's going to come to you, the one who stands firm in it all, that one is going to be saved. And he means there, not a new salvation, but the very thing that you're in, the very thing that Jesus came forward to do, to take those from death into life, they will. Because this is the pressure that's going to come upon them, and it's going to be proven by what they do and how they live, that truly this is what they are. They are those who are new in Christ Jesus. The one who endures to the end. He who remains faithful, the hatred of man and the rejection of family members, it is hard to deal with. And brethren, you know yourself, we are not Stoics. We are real people. We have feelings and everything. And down to this day, to have someone to turn against us because of our faith in Christ is not something we take so lightly and say, you know what, big deal. Go about your way. No, it hurts. There are ties. There's real connections in these family members. So it's real. And sometimes it wouldn't make a Christian even think, have I done the right thing? Is this right what I'm doing? And began to think through, what should I do? Should I just turn back? The Christian connection to Christ and his submission is his cause, and his cause will determine who he is, will determine that what the truth is in him, will determine what his real faith is. And this is the very thing we must see. And Jesus is saying, this is not something that's going to be easy for any man. And he says there's the very thing that you must do. You must understand it and see and make sure that this is the right thing. Drop down a few verses and you see how Jesus even comes further into this whole area. As he goes and he says the meaning of discipleship. But look at verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his daughter or more than me is not worthy of me. So Jesus is saying there is some definite decisions that must be made. The one who is with Christ and following him, he loves them. He didn't say don't love them at all. But they don't love these relationships, these people in their family, more than Christ. And that's why Christ can say the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who holds on, the one who goes through the course of discipleship and stay in there, they're the very ones who will be saved. The final thing Jesus says here is he gives direction to flee. persecution. Notice in verse 23. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Now this is very simple, isn't it? It's really Jesus telling them, first of all, if you get persecuted in one city, you don't stay there and just continue to be persecuted. I think that's kind of being wise, isn't it? You don't stay there, you go somewhere else. And so what do? You take it somewhere else. What should the apostles do if a city reject them? After much love and patience and coming in and speaking to them, displaying their character, that they must go to another city. That's what he tells them. Leave and go somewhere else. Don't stay there. And one man says, he says, you know, when you're preaching somewhere, you got a gospel in some city, and you're over and over again, but nothing is happening there, you don't stay and waste those blessings and the talents there upon a people who's totally reject you. Go somewhere else where they may listen to and hear the gospel. And sometimes we think, you know, you got to keep doing the same thing. Jesus said, no, that's not what you do. If they're not hearing, you go somewhere else. And this is what we saw so clearly, and you know that in the book of Acts. We see it. And I'll just turn you to two sections of Scripture. First of all, Acts chapter 13. And I'll just jump right into the context of it. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, when Paul is preaching the gospel, it says here, he says in verse 44, on the Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, turning to the Gentiles, we're turning to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. In other words, they're not going to stay there and keep preaching if you're doing all this to destroy us and to try your best to even bring shame and harm upon us. And Peter did the same thing in Acts chapter 12 and 17. By motioning to them, this is when he comes out of prison, and now he goes into the house where they're praying. By motioning to them to be quiet, to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, report these things to James and the brethren. Then he left and went to another place. So it's clear. Here Christ is saying to them, purposely we see for them at that time, you don't stay in the same place where they're rejecting you and they're going to do all kind of things to harm you and to hurt you. Go someplace else. Take the gospel. When a person rejects the gospel, people, how often do we have to keep giving it to them? How often? I think we stop. Because we're doing nothing but even causing them to hate us more or to even put a rift between us. But we can pray. We can keep praying that the Lord will be merciful to that one. But here, Jesus winds off or finishes off this very area of his instructions to them, this discourse, by saying in verse 23, but whatever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. And I think without going into any too great to-do about it, what Christ is saying here, the gospel is going to be preached. The gospel will not finish being preached until the Son of Man comes. To the second coming of Christ Jesus, when he comes, the gospel will be preached to his and by his servants until Christ returns. And so here's the thing, each and every one of us, we're looking for the return of Christ, and the gospel is to be preached until he returns. just a few closing thoughts as you look at that. First of all, it looks at it. We see in here the character of the gospel workers. We've seen that. And that's something you and I, it comes all the way down to today, the character of the gospel workers. We should have a character. We should have a sense that we're showing to people we are like the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't fight. We don't bring up issues. And we're not those so quick to fight, even if you wrong us. We are like doves, and we use that in the right way as we see Jesus Christ and what he did. He got out of the way, any danger coming to him, but he didn't lash back. Even brought before the courts, he didn't speak ill of no one. And so the character of the gospel worker is what he sees here. Secondly, the persecution they will receive. And remember, they are not receiving this persecution because of what they do. They receive it because who they represent. And we have to make sure that any persecution we receive, it's not because of what we are doing or what we have done, but because of the very truth that we bring. Thirdly, we see it's clear that family or their family members may come against them. And he's saying the same thing, brethren. Our family members will come against us. And we thank God in some of the families that we don't have them hating us and trying to turn us over to any authorities because of what we're preaching. But we can tell, we can know when they disdain who we are. And I don't think you who are unconverted realize that. When you turn off and what you're doing, how badly you're treating your family members. There is no way you can reject Christ and what he is, and everything will be hunky-dory with your family member who is a Christian and love the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't understand that, and I do understand that, but there's no way. Maybe one day you will realize it, that what comes between you and your family because they are a Christian is the horrible thing. I know some families right now, they're torn apart because of the sinful lives some want to live, and the parents are Christians and they can't stand them because they don't understand, as they say, and won't look at what they're doing and approve of their horrible lives. Another thing we see here, there will be times, dear brother, where we must end the gospel in a particular place, or maybe to a particular person, and just stop and say, we leave you to the Lord. Let the Lord take you. But one thing is sure, the gospel will be preached until Jesus comes. And that's something that you and I can be thankful for. It's not going to stop sometime. There's going to be a time on this earth where there will be no preaching of the gospel. The gospel will be preached until Jesus Christ comes. Let us pray.